Hey now, it's spring in New York, Michael. How are you?
I'm great. I couldn't be better. I couldn't be happier or better. Everything's great. Isn't the world great, David?
I feel like I just caught my first trout of the year. I got my first vaccination shot. I'm ready to wear my springtime wardrobe is coming. My valet has prepared it all, pressed all the suits. I'm happy.
What do you do? Where do you keep your spring wardrobe in your apartment? I'm curious sort of about that.
Rolled up in shelf number two.
I thought you had one of those like dry cleaner racks, the mobile one.
Rotate.
You just stand and press the button until it comes around.
I have to say that a lot of deciding about clothing that kind of enters a rotation has to do with how little it wrinkles. if I can roll something up, that goes a long way.
Oh, did you want to talk about linen? Were you just making conversation was this an invitation to talk about linen? Yes, I too love linen, David.
We'll talk about linen. And no, it's also just things that have some sort of natural resilience that don't even corduroy things that chinos.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I like the idea of something getting pulled out and then just keep wearing it.
Yeah, tweed or anything that can like self correct. It's sort of like the same way I cook, where there isn't a lot that can go wrong. The stakes are pretty low. Let's just say.
it's like the pair of jeans that you just wear. You know, you just keep your belt in. I know you don't wear jeans, David, so there's people in the world. we call them normal people, and they wear these things called jeans. Have you ever heard of
it? I was thinking about this because somebody was tweeting about joking that some other crazy person online said he's over jeans, and I completely obviously am too. And I was thinking, well, obviously most people look awful in jeans. 1% or 2% look good.
What?
And then
That's not true.
I think most people wear incorrect jeans. Like, no, I mean, like when I see someone who's really got the right ones on, but I was going to say that same percentage is probably true for suits, that most people wear the wrong suit too. So in fact, I just think that 2% of people are doing the correct thing, no matter what the genre is. So it's not really, so before I start going crazy about jeans, most guys wearing suits look just like sad middle management. So I'm not in a position to solve.
I think a lot of people can look good in jeans. I get your point. I almost took that the wrong way. You know, we're in a process of figuring out what our style is right in life. And if you catch someone early in that process, they probably are wearing jeans or a suit that doesn't look right because they haven't figured it out. Like if we went back to a moment in time with you, we could probably catch you. I know we can with me wearing some ridiculous things, you know, and it's not like, you know, I think I was just on the road to figuring that out. And it's a little bit of a process, I think, you know.
The problem is that these people who are 24 and figuring it out are posting photos of themselves nonstop as if they're God gifts to the sartorial world. And then I'm all for people taking their time. Then just like, that's natural. That's almost what my book Men in Style was about, like how we arrive at our kind of grown up, more mature sensibility. And even like, that's good. It's good to have a bad phase. That's human. But I also, there's some strange thing now that with everyone presenting themselves so publicly all the time, you can't have those things in private, which you almost deserve to have. I know you think you know it all when you're 24, and I'm just here to say you don't.
Everyone knows that. Everyone listening here knows that. It's like when I was 18, I couldn't believe how stupid my father was. And you know, when I turned 21, I couldn't believe how much he learned in 3 years.
Right.
Well, you know, I mean, everyone knows that, you know, that's a process, right? Buy my book.
Well, I always say when we're like fishing and it's hard, I was like, well, this is what we call a character building experience, but there's nobody who thinks their character isn't built enough. No, it's like, you know what? I still need to like have my heart broken exquisitely on the, you know, whether in your love life or fishing or whatever it is, I need to learn a few more lessons to really become a wistful older person.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the heartbreak, the challenge, the difficult times, the bad moments all illuminate the positive things and help in more than, I think it's just more a matter of recognition. It helps you recognize the good things when they're happening, as opposed to just like letting them sail by and not catching them, you know.
No, this is why you learn a lot getting sniped on eBay. Like, oh no, I missed my one chance. My life will never be the same. Of course, I didn't even know this thing existed 24 hours ago before I became obsessed with the auction of it. And now that somebody got it out from underneath me, my life is over until the next thing I discover.
I really, if I see auctions, it's rare like I will ever participate on eBay.
Buy now.
Sort by buy now and that's it. And I only list buy it now. I don't want to like be a part of an auction.
Auction is too intense. I also have the wistful feeling of like my collection of houses on Zillow, my dream houses that I monitor every day to see which one gets, you know, becomes contract pending. And this life, my imaginary life as a gentleman farmer in upstate New York or on an island in Maine is gone for me, even though there's like absolutely no possibility of it happening in the first place. But when I see the house with the perfect grill or kitchen or fireplace, I'm like, no, but this is path was not taken, even though the only thing the path was me light looking at it at midnight anyway.
I'm a little surprised by the idea of you on Zillow.
Oh, big houses.
That doesn't seem like, I wouldn't have predicted that. I think the pandemic maybe helped shape that a little bit, right? And well, everyone, you know, all your friends have married out from underneath you.
Well, I did used to look at houses. I've always looked at kind of Catskills and Litchfield County houses. And then there used to be a specific realtor I liked and a few sites I went to. And then as Zillow ended up aggregating on those sites as well, I could just go there, type in my specifications, how early the house had to be built in. It was great. And
I could just see you in your in your boots, your muck boots, and your barber, you know, out, you know, complaining about the septic, you know, you got problem.
That's, I mean, you know, my dream is just to like walk around any property with like an overcoat, over pajamas, Wellington boots, a dog running near me, and drinking coffee out of some old mug and like staring at the horizon and following my Twitter, seeing how many likes I get on my posts.
You know, I went to that, actually that's that thing that you describe actually happened to me and it was really beautiful. I went to do a story about a mill in Donegal in Ireland, Northwest Ireland. And the family that owned the mill, like invited me to their house for dinner and we had dinner in their kitchen and it was like a beautiful country kitchen. And just like everyone together at this like big table in the kitchen. And there's like a million, they had like a million Springer Spaniels or Brittany Spaniels. I don't know they were like running around and he had the whole old, you know, Land Rover and it was just like the coolest, you know, and Northwest Ireland, so, so beautiful and hard to get to and sort of remote. And it was, that was like just such an amazing, beautiful experience. And every day I was there, it was like, I can't remember what time of year it was. Maybe it was the winter, but every day was like blue sky, clear, super clear, cold day. And I totally lucked out. It was fantastic. That was like one of the most fun things I've done in a while. That was a few years ago, but that was awesome.
I love that. I feel like Irish countryside, underrated travel destination, right? Everyone knows, everyone's going to Scotland or they know Dublin, but they're not, or go to Galway, but Irish countryside, good fishing too. That's on my list.
And it's on the Euro, so it's a little bit less expensive.
Nice.
You know, so, which is nice.
I look forward to the travel guide on ACL Golf.
I hope to go. Newsletter. I played a couple of golf courses when I was up there too by myself. And it was just, I mean, it was awesome. It's just, but it's more than anything. It reminded me a lot of like going to Denmark or being like in Scandinavia. It was just so beautiful. And like everyone was nice and it was cool.
Irish people. I'm for it. Especially like the Irish. No one in Boston. Sorry. No, the real Irish where they're, I mean, I love all that, The Secret of Ronan Ish. I love that movie, which would be perfect for your daughter when she gets a little older.
Yeah.
Wait, so I was in the Catskills kind of touch and go on the internet, which was really nice, not kind of following the news. The Super League happened and didn't happen. Like I just missed an entire news story. Or I heard bits and pieces or found the remnants of the ashes of this horrific idea. Can you just summarize that for me and for the listeners?
I don't think I'm the right person to do it. Here's my takeaway from it. I think I understand it well enough. American rich billionaire Americans tried to ruin the Premier League and the hierarchy of the Premier League and create their own privileged league where they could make, sort of suck all the money out of the system and leave all the other teams to dangle and twist and sort of, ruin everything. That was my big takeaway. There are, more American, the really large, clubs are owned by Americans, Liverpool, which is pretty wild.
Yeah. Well, and so I think it was also from the continent too. So like the best teams in Europe were going to break away from their either domestic leagues and form this kind of super championship that would almost have nothing to do with even where they were from. It was making, and then it quickly,
it was like Champions League. It was like Champions League, just with all the biggest, most profitable, biggest market Juventus teams.
And it went away also very quickly. And now some heads are rolling. Some people are apologizing, even bankers that advise them. And all of which is to say, I was just thinking then about like bad ideas or just horrific miscalculations, either on a grand scale or a small scale. Like when I thought I could live on the Upper West Side and enjoy it, but that's not nearly
what happened.
Well, I don't know. I briefly thought, I found this really cool apartment years ago, probably 15 years ago, on 71st Street, right off Central Park West. I mean, really close. And I got way into like Central Park West itself. It felt very adult to me at the time. Mm-hmm. And this apartment was great. But I just never quite connected to the restaurants of the area, the bars or the culture. There were a lot of, at that time, kind of couples, kind of post-college couples and mm-hmm. with strollers and Colgate baseball hats and kind of a default style.
Sobs.
Oh, I wish. No, they weren't that. It was just like the kind of New England college kids I saw that now came to New York and lived in a very perfectly nice way, but not people who are as interested in kind of style or mm-hmm. or some is more dynamic. And I just never quite connected with that area as much as I thought. And I mean, I would only go to Cafe Luxembourg. I didn't discover any new bars or new restaurants, and that kind of, I don't know about that decision.
Yeah. I don't know how big of a miscalculation that is, but it seems like a temporary miscalculation.
It's just one, but it was like in a way I imagined I would develop that then didn't end up working. And I even somehow I rented that apartment. I sublet it for a summer to a guy. I actually put an ad on Craigslist. God, I can't barely believe it. And a banker wrote within 10 minutes and said he would come that day. He'd send a colleague that day to look at it for the banker's son, who mm-hmm. was a student at Stanford. And he looked around. It was, absolutely meticulously kept. The person who owned the building restored or built sailboats, so he was really good at everything. So this boy comes. I let him in. I'd never met him. He's going to be there for 3 months. And then it turned out he's interning at Fox News, which I did not realize at the time. And I came back, and I was like, God, I hope the apartment's all right. And I've been 3 months away. I haven't really even spoken to this young man. And there was like in the refrigerator was just a big jar of maraschino cherries, which is odd because there's no icebox, even though it was like a and then I opened the cabinet and it was just a Bill O'Reilly coffee cup staring at me. The most frightening thing I've ever seen in my life. And I threw it out the window.
That man was Karl Rove.
And that man was Karl Rove Jr. Carly. Oh my God.
Genius boy. I watched W the other day. So that's like top level for me. The Oliver Stone, George W.
Oh God. Did you ever like make a living? Do you ever move somewhere and it quickly or slowly became apparent that it was not like bad real estate? Have you ever failed in real estate? Rental?
Not really. I haven't lived many places. I think I have low standards too. So
that makes it does help. Sometimes I like lower those standards.
My whole thing was like I hated broker fees. So like for rental apartments, which I felt like is just such a scam. Especially I now, everywhere I went, I was always like trying to no fee it. But no, I haven't miscalculated with that. I was thinking about this. I think most of my like pretty bad miscalculations have involved me. I mean, there's been obvious like drunken things that I've done are, you know, stupid. But most of the bad miscalculations I think that I've made have been not doing things, right? By like holding myself back by overthinking things or trying to get conditions to be perfect to do something, which I think is a big mistake. You know, and I think the new me doing the newsletter originally was like, you know what, like this is never going to be perfect. I couldn't like wrap my head around it and how exactly I wanted to like fit into my little stupid universe.
Right.
So, you know, I was like, I'm just never going to be able to make this perfect. So, you know, fuck it. I'm just going to do it. But I think I've like held myself back from a lot of things by either being too snobby about, I don't know, some of the details, or I don't know, wanting things to be perfect. And it's not, you know, it rarely is, you know, things rarely line up.
That's a good point. And it is hard to, I think the desire for things to be the way we want them, or knowing what they can be, does stand in our way. And I sometimes fight against that myself, my desire for things to be just so. That, but nobody in my life has ever noticed that about me. So they think my standards are very low. No, everyone in my life is going crazy and cannot deal at all with that.
Your standards. Well,
do you have any of, you know, well, what I consider them to be, do you have any like examples of that? I mean, that sounded kind of like quite interesting. I was very, very intrigued. Is there something you're ready to share?
No,
with?
Not really.
Depends who's listening.
I think, you know, I don't know. I've like followed a lot of like what I've done has been, you know, it's like, I'm trying to like get this in the right way, or phrase this in the right way, but you know, I don't want to like do things outside of my comfort zone to some degree. And I think like professionally, instead of like trying to like fit into some big organization or work somewhere or follow some traditional path, I think I've said like, that makes me a little nervous. So I'm just going to try to like create my own universe, you know, and that's not necessarily a miscalculation, but it is, I think, conceding a little bit to like, I don't know, unwillingness to, you know, be competitive or be whatever. I'm like a highly competitive person, but not in traditional ways. Right. Which I think manifests itself in kind of strangely sometimes. Right. Like, I don't want to. You've been listening to a free preview of Central Division, a podcast and newsletter between David Coggins and Michael Williams. To access all of our podcasts and all of our newsletters, visit centraldivision.substack.com. Thank you.